Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, I'm Freddie Sayers, and this is Unheard. Back in March, everyone's world suddenly changed.
From this evening, I must give the British people a very simple instruction. You must stay at home.
So on day one of lockdown, we launched Lockdown TV, a place where we could gather experts, scientists, writers, politicians, thinkers, to try to help us understand what was going on in this strange moment and what kind of world we were going to get at the end of it. And now, due to popular demand, here we are in podcast form. Welcome to Lockdown TV. Apple is one of the biggest and most powerful companies in the world. What goes on there inadvertently pretty much affects all of us. Someone who had recently started at Apple was sacked last week under intriguing circumstances that tell us quite a lot about the atmosphere in that company and in Silicon Valley more broadly. He joins us now from Silicon Valley. His name is Antonio Garcia Martinez. Hi, Antonio.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So you've had a few careers, it sounds like. You were a banker at Goldman Sachs. You were a senior executive in early Facebook, writing code for their targeting and advertising software, I guess. You then wrote a book which described Silicon Valley and the culture that you observed there. And then fast forward, that was back in 2012. And then fast forward a few years, you then got a new job at Apple. Except you don't have that job anymore.
Yeah, that's right. I've had a strange career. Yeah, I was an early member of the Facebook ads team and all the weird, sketchy ads technology that would, you know, the pair of shoes that follow you around the internet. I built the very early versions of that for Facebook and worked in tech a bit more and then wrote a memoir about it. I thought my time there was interesting. And I wrote a memoir in a very hyperbolic, you know, gonzo journalist style, obviously over the top stylistically. And it came out, it did well, you know, bestseller list, book of the year. And, you know, I kind of left that behind. I came back to tech and I've been in tech actually for the past year and a half at another startup. And I decided to continue my career at Apple. I specialize in sort of data and privacy and ads targeting and all that murky stuff. And for the past month, I've been working there and I, you know, reconciled myself to quiet life of a tech employee. And all this happened.
So you had written a book back in 2016 called Chaos Monkeys that described your time at Facebook. It described the culture in Silicon Valley at the time. It was kind of a memoir written, as you say, in this gonzo journalist style. And it combined talk of your professional life with your personal life. It described some of your girlfriends and what happened in your private life in a comedy way. Some quotes from that book were deemed unacceptable. Anyone can Google them. They're pretty much available everywhere. So there's no great secret, but we don't need to run through them all now. But they were considered unacceptable in today's climate. And that triggered a whole movement against you.
I mean, again, to me, what's funny about this is all old news. I mean, it's not funny to me, but what I find ironic is that, it's an old book. It's 5 years ago. And what's interesting, of course, is that Apple has pretended that, you know, this is somehow news and they didn't discover it. Of course, they knew it ahead of time. You know, this is an old book and Apple is sort of playing coy and kind of pretending they didn't know about the book. But of course, they knew about it. I mean, they asked all my professional references about it, people very prominent in the Valley. They absolutely knew about it. There's no way to not know about it, right? I mean, this is that's not why they hired me, obviously. They hired me for my tech expertise. And I have this weird window or sort of island in my career. It was on my CV, it was on LinkedIn. There's no hiding this, there's no digging this out. This did not get dug out, right? I mean, Apple knew all about it. They acted surprised later, but I would just quibble with that characterization of it.
So what then happened? So there was this quote in the book some years ago describing a someone in a way that seemed derogatory. Then there were calls for resignation. You're already an employee at Apple at this point. What happened next?
I can't actually discuss what happened when I was at Apple. That's the problem, right? I literally cannot. So, I mean, what's in the public record, you're free to read, right? I mean, apparently there was a petition circulated, but beyond that, I have no unique insight into that. Or if I did, I couldn't talk about it.
So what would you like to say, Antonio? I mean, what do you feel has this revealed to you?
I mean, my story is nothing in the scheme of things, right? It's, I mean, I think broadly, I don't know. I don't know what it means. I mean, I think there's...
So what does it say about the state of the world that you're now trying to have a new section of your career and you don't seem to be able to move on from this line you wrote all those years ago?
My story in the scheme of things is small, right? I think in general, if you look broadly at Silicon Valley, what happened, for example, at Coinbase, the large cryptocurrency exchange in which management basically had to say, we're not discussing politics at work, and that's just the way it is. More recently, the CEO of Shopify, Toby Lutka, issued basically the same statement, right? Basecamp, which is another large, but prominent collaboration software company, also did the same, and half the company left. So again, my story is small beans in the scheme of it. I mean, it's big to me, but it's not big in general. I think there's kind of a reckoning, I would say in corporate America more broadly, and definitely in Silicon Valley, around, you know, what does one do at work, right? That, you know, there's this kind of cliche about, you know, bring the real self, your real self to work, right? Which I find to be disingenuous. We don't bring the real self to work, right? Like the conversation you and I would have over the third pint in a pub is not the pint that you and I would have as coworkers, right? We don't bring the real self to work. That's a ridiculous notion. Or notions that your company is family, or that the company is in fact like the government that can actually solve social problems. I'm basically paraphrasing the quote from the Shopify CEO, actually, who literally said what I just said. And he's this nerdy guy, right, who works at this Canadian company. You know, he's not exactly the hard-charging, you know, whatever your caricature is of a tech entrepreneur. And I think there's just a reckoning that's happening there. And I think Apple has decided to go one way in that reckoning, and that's...
So basically the idea is then that sort of politics has just sort of infused it, and there is no... There's no longer the ability for people to have any kind of private sphere or outside work views.
Well, not just private, but, you know, a person, it sounds ridiculous to say, is a multifaceted entity. You have, everyone has a political side, a potentially religious side, you know, family side, whatever, right? You know, the question is, I'm framing it in sort of the bigger debates that have been had around Coinbase, for example. It's like, well, do leave it at the door, do you not? Some would seem to think that, no, you can't leave it at the door. That is the whole me. And if I cannot bring that to work, you're denying some aspect of me. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is, I mean, no one's denying that it's part of you. You can definitely do that off corporate hours, but it's just not part of corporate life. And we need to not include that in corporate life to be a productive profit-making entity, which is Toby's point of view. That's the debate here.
It gets more complicated when people are recording their thoughts, either more commonly on Twitter or Facebook or social media, or in your case, in a book. But it's like there's no statute of limitations. There's no point at which anything that you've ever written down ceases to become a prosecutable piece of evidence against you.
Right. There's no statute of limitations. And clearly... The ability to contextualize that creative output or that other non-work output obviously varies in real ways. I mean, look at the rap lyrics of Dr. Dre, who's currently sitting on the Apple board. I mean, they're, in my opinion, absolutely putrid. And yet, there he is, right? I don't see a lot of standing on principle here. I see a lot of activism, and those are not necessarily the same thing.
So where's it going to lead? I mean, what happens next in this sort of journey? Because only people who have sort of been extremely careful about all of their public pronouncements and maybe even private pronouncements, because you could be recorded these days.
But that's not even true. That's not even true, right? I mean, Dr. Dre has not been careful on his public announcements, right?
Right.
Either you're a saint, or at least you seem like a saint, nobody knows anything. I can't claim to understand where the world is going, all this, but it does seem to me that we're in a strange world in which, you know, you've got this social media that almost seems like oral media, like you and me in a pub, and yet it's infinitely searchable in a way that, you know, oral, more casual media is not. it's an odd juxtaposition to be in. And leaving that aside, again, where does this leave culture, right? I mean, if in some sense, if you're an artist or whatever, or writer, and you have to, every word you write, you have to project forward 20 years of politics to imagine whether it's acceptable or not. You know, what sort of art would you end up with? I mean, there's a lot of 20th century political movements that you can cite that thought that art should always be in service to politics. And those political movements did not end up, you know, things did not end up pretty, either artistically or politically, in those movements.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One of those movements was communism, and correct. As I understand it, at least one of your parents fled from communist Cuba to arrive in America. Is that true?
That is right. Yeah, my parents were Cuban exiles. My father came with, you know, nothing in his pocket, and he came through the Cuban Refugee Center in Miami. And I was born in the U.S. and raised in Miami, which was very much a Cuban exile city. And that's right. I mean, communism is an all-encompassing philosophy in which everything is in service of the state and the party. And again, I think that's a very dangerous trend or a very dangerous expectation for culture.
The Verge ran was part of this kind of media pylon that was happening. The Verge said, "Silicon Valley has consistently had a white male workforce," in reference to your case. Do you consider yourself white?
At this point, I'm not going to play a role in the whole, you know, race culture game, but I find it funny, and in fact, it's empirically false, the claim that, you know, most of Silicon Valley is white. I mean, it's simply not true. And I think anyone who's actually worked in much of tech realizes that it's not true. I find it odd to interject the whole racial politics of it into tech, to be quite honest. But in any case, I do find it, yeah, I mean, if you ask me, do I find it funny that presumably a Latino minority who managed to like make it up the ranks is getting assailed by a bunch of white people who have strong ideas about whatever their politics? Yeah, I do find it pretty ironic, actually. But you know, beyond that, I have no insight, no unique insight to offer there.
So our viewers will be really interested to know what your take on the culture in Silicon Valley is more generally now, because you spent a lot of time at Facebook, you're now about to go back into Apple, or that didn't last long. You know, what is the culture in those companies? Is it awkward? Are people being insincere? Do people live in fear? Is it a weird place to work? What's it like?
It is an interesting weird world. I mean, I don't think it's a particularly shocking statement to say that companies like Facebook and indeed Apple are somewhat cultish, and I don't mean that necessarily a bad way, right? I think it was Keith Raboy, a famous VC, who said that every successful startup is a cult. And in some sense, you have to have this religious faith in what the company is doing, because often there's there's real doubts about whether the company is going to succeed, and it's a motivating factor. I think people want to change the world in what they do, and I'm not being cynical about it. I think that's not necessarily a bad thing. You can question the mission of a Facebook, say, if you don't like the company. But broadly, yeah, I mean, tech companies are as much faith-based institutions as they are capitalistic ones.
Well, faith and political. So I guess the question is, if you get can be canceled in the way that you have at a company like Apple.
Am I canceled? What does cancellation mean?
Well, you lost your job as a result of a some sort of campaign. That's a sort
right.
of that's a textbook cancellation, I would say. But
okay.
you know, what's the online version of that? You know, we talk a lot about censorship, about what Facebook is doing. You were there in the weeds of writing the code. Should we, yep. as normal people using these platforms, be worried that there are similar kind of political cautionary areas in the actual platforms themselves?
Back in my writer days, I was writing all about this, right? That the calls for Facebook to moderate, censor, choose your verb, media in 2016, post-Trump, I thought were dangerous, right? I mean, appointing Zuckerberg, editor-in-chief of the world, seems to me like a rather dangerous development, right? I mean, at some point, the editor comes for you.
Is that what's happening now, do you think? Do you think within the algorithms, which you probably understand better than we do you think there are...
Sorry, just to be clear, the algorithm thing, that's like this boogeyman that gets raised from non-technical people that they assume the algorithm is like this Terminator robots coming calling. I think it's a lot less about the Terminator. I think it's a lot less about the algorithm. I think it's a lot more about the, whatever it's called, the Content Moderation Council at Facebook that behind closed doors, I'm using Facebook, but basically every sort of social media company now, right? Behind closed doors that adjudicates some content policy and says, this is good and this is bad, et cetera. That's really what I'm referring to. That to me is what I consider dangerous. Like a Supreme Court of Facebook that decides what we read and see. I don't know. It seems suboptimal to me. Of course, the flip side of that is there's always, I can picture my former opponents in this debate, of which I've had many, would say, well, there's always been moderation on social media, which is true. We don't want to see pornography. We don't want to see illegal activities. True. I mean, there's no absolute First Amendment right in any of these platforms, right? Which I agree.
Trump, for example, the expulsion of the president as he then was. Do you have a view on that?
I don't have a view on Trump.
On his exclusion from all of the platforms in the same week.
Look, I'm not gonna. I have no view on Trump. But my view, however, is that I do think that there is somewhat unsettling development that a lot of these companies do have a lot of sway in what we see and we don't see. And again, sometimes that's good. Again, there has to be a certain amount of content moderation online. There absolutely has to be, right? But where do you draw the line? It's hard to say. It's odd to me that typically the government made these decisions, right? It was typically the government restricting things and then, the literary world or the business world kind of expanding beyond that and the government, big bad government come in and shut things down, right? Lenny Bruce being pulled off the stage or whatever, right, back in the day. And now it's been inverted, right? In some sense, the government isn't doing anything. It's really corporations that are stepping in due to public pressure. And it's an odd inversion to me because, of course, as the people who say you don't have a First Amendment right on Facebook, well, it's not the government. It's a public, private company that can do whatever they want, which is, of course, true. Mm. But I would question if, that's, of course, legally true. But, it's weird that we're arguing against corporations following what we consider to be core First Amendment freedoms.
It sounds like a libertarian argument.
The absolute free speech argument, which I'm not advocating myself, to be clear. Because again, I don't think there's an absolute First Amendment free speech right on platforms. There has to be moderation.
So, Antonio, what's next for you then?
Yeah, good question. I don't know. It's too early to say. I can't quite tell you. I mean, I don't know, to be honest.
This is presumably a big deal in your life to suddenly be let go like this.
Yeah, guess so. Too early to say. I was hoping to, there's a lot going on in the field that I work in, right? And I was hoping to be at Apple and work on it and build something new and, retire, but go back to a quieter life than the book writer. I mean, I'd already done it again. Like I've been in tech back now for like a year and a half. So this isn't exactly totally novel. But this is definitely, big company, slow, but impactful. In that sense, it's disappointing. I still think Apple's an amazing company. And what they're doing, the moves they're making in ads and privacy, which is what I was hired to work on, I think are super interesting and super impactful. Like that whole debate that's going on between Apple and privacy and what's called the IDFA and the war with Google, like that whole world is going to undergo a complete re-architecture, like a once in 20 year type situation. So the fact that I won't participate in that is definitely a problem. You know, it was definitely disappointing. And then, yeah, broadly, I mean, the damages to me, I mean, their defamatory statement about behavior and all that, which came out, which is, of course, ludicrous. There was no behavior at Apple that was questionable. It was simply the petition and the Slack message threads or whatever came out of that public piece. That's obviously upsetting. And, you know, obviously financially damaging.
Okay, Antonio, thanks for telling us about it.
Thank you for having me.
That was Antonio Garcia Martinez, until last week, an employee of Apple. No longer, he has been sacked. And he was telling us a little bit about the circumstances and sharing some reflections on the state of culture there in Silicon Valley. As you could see, he was kind of nervous, as I guess you would be when you're in the middle of a firestorm like that, dealing with great powers. So thanks to him for taking the time to talk to us. This was Lockdown TV.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.